This is the best of the Phillies on Sports Radio 94 WIP.
The pitch swung on, hit in the air, deep right center field. Going back is O'Neill to the track, nearing the wall. He'll jump, and it is gone! And Max Kepler has homered to right field. It's a two-run shot. It just cleared over the high wall and right. His 12th of the year, and it's 3-0 Phillies.
Well, tremendous job by Kepler last night. Could be one of his last games as a Phil. If they bring up Justin Crawford.
Could be it. Yeah.
Yeah. Could be a way to go out.
You know what? Wow. It's a poignant goodbye if it is his last game.
Especially if the Phils win the division by one game.
How about that? Maybe we'll that's part of what was going into all that last night.
I just think it was
out because he knew the writing was on the wall.
Well, he also probably knows he's could be near the end of his career. Like, think of Whit Merrifield last year. He stunk here. Right? Now, we didn't know he was so close to the end of his career. He retired after the season. And, you know, Kepler could be one of those kind of guys, too.
Sure.
Where this might not just be like, oh, my Philly thing's not working out. It's like, oh, my baseball career might be coming to an end.
Yeah.
So I'm sure there's a lot going through his mind. All right, more of what Kepler said after the game last night. We'll get to that shortly. To the phones, reminder, tennis today at 11:30 FDR Park. Please be there if you can. There is a chance it's going to be on YouTube, our YouTube channel, we hope. The station will know close to 11:30 whether it works technologically. There's some issues in that region, that spot, to be able to put it on YouTube, but I know the station is efforting to try to make it work. It may or may not. My best advice to you, if you can't be there, is just check out the YouTube WIP channel, you know, right around 11:30, and you'll see whether it's up there or not. All right, to the phones. Malik in West Philadelphia. Malik, good morning.
Good morning, Joe, my man.
What's up, Malik?
What's going on, man? How you feeling?
How are you, pal? I feel ready. I feel good. I really do. I'm at that point where, you know, all athletes go through this. It's like, when do you finish eating?
How do you know?
And when do you last go to the bathroom? That's what I'm down to.
Just all athletes.
Really?
Yeah.
You're really overthinking this.
No. Go ahead, Malik.
Well, listen.
Yeah.
Joe, you're not as frail. I'm letting y'all know now. Joe is not as frail as y'all claim him to be.
Really?
That meant, yes, I delivered his books the other day.
Oh, then Malik, this is you. Thank you. Thank you for calling in.
Yeah, and he helped me push a 2,000-pound skid up a ramp.
Oh, what? Wow.
Fragile people can't do stuff like that. I've been a truck driver for 11 years, and Joe could be my second man.
Wow. So he's less fragile than advertised.
So
maybe
Joe's shot really did
work.
Hammer!
Wait, what kind of shot was that?
That was 3,000 books. it was anabolic steroids.
Holy cow. We know the secret.
Listen, Joe is the man. Jack, he got a problem
Joe
with his hands.
Joe's juicing.
Today,
is that's the secret.
No wonder he's been so confident.
An illicit secret to this whole competition. It could blow this whole thing up.
That's why you had that letter from Balco the other
that's
day.
Right.
I got it.
I'm like Bonds.
Balco,
yep.
Wow.
Yep.
Yo, wow. Joe, you my guy, and I just want to let the whole Tri-State area know that I got the first signed book.
He got the book. He got the first of the 3,000.
Yes. And it's looking good. I didn't start reading it yet. I just skimmed through it, but I want to, you know, have some time so I can sit down comfortably with my tea. I might take a bubble bath when I do it.
Good man.
Malik, you might be like Joe in disguise here. That's unbelievable.
Malik, I love you. Good man. Good man, Malik.
My God, man. Good luck today, man.
Thanks, buddy. Hey, Malik, keep calling our show. Thanks, bud.
No
doubt.
Are
you making friends
stuff,
out there?
Man. Yeah. Well, you know, so I got to be careful. Like, I can't
hand out your book in the bath.
Yeah.
Buddy.
I can't hand out thousands because, you know, but like he delivered 3,000 books to me.
Yeah,
like,
you kind of have to.
I got
to
give him a book.
Of course you do.
There's 3,000 right there.
Would have been bad.
All right. Sirianni. Let's listen to Nick Sirianni because he's got some decisions to make for tomorrow night. Eagles have a game. Tomorrow night, Eagles and the Bengals. And he was asked yesterday about, you know, what's going into the process of making the decision. So who plays, who doesn't? Here's what he said.
Have you made a decision about Thursday with playing?
Yeah, still thinking through all those things. You know, everything's discussed. We spent a lot of time discussing it, and we'll see how that goes. And, you know, today's practice will you know, this will be our third day in a row in practice, and we'll see how guys are feeling after this and go from there.
All right, so what you'd expect? A non-answer answer.
Well,
he knows that,
out
right?
Out at practice yesterday, we were there. Yeah. It was our last chance to see these guys. They were in shorts, and the starters from the first team were wearing pennies in other people's numbers. So you had
Scout
Lane
team.
Johnson in whatever he was, number 90, mm-hmm. playing defensive line, and that was what the practice looked
like. Is that Trey Hendrickson?
I'm not sure what he – I think so, yeah.
Yeah, I think it is.
Yeah. So you had the starters on the scout team almost exclusively yesterday out of practice. It definitely makes you think that the backups, the second string, third string, and then some, those are the guys playing. The starters, they're not going to –
Let me ask you guys a question. Have the four of you – because I've made this adjustment in the last year or so. Have you made the adjustment to just embrace – what we get with the preseason and not let what we don't get not bother you anymore?
Yeah, it doesn't stop bothering me.
Doesn't bother me at all. Zero.
Because it bothered me a lot until recently.
Yeah, no, I'm good.
Nope. Well, hold on. Last year we saw the defense play in the preseason, and that was beneficial.
I don't want them to play. I'm very happy that they don't play. This is proven to work. Like, the guys have been, we've been
to
two Super Bowls,
guys.
And we've had 43 out of 44 starters healthy in the Super Bowls, and one of them got hurt in the playoff run to it. Like, I'm sorry. Like, I look at this as a great thing. I'm very happy about it.
I'm not playing Jalen. Like, if I'm the coach of the Philadelphia Eagles, I'm not playing Jalen Hurts. I'm certainly not playing Saquon. I'm running back. Are you kidding me?
I'm talking about Jahad Campbell.
That's different.
Well, no, there's
young guys I'm fine with. Young guys I'm fine with.
And guys competing for a starting spot.
Last year, we saw a lot of the young guys on the defensive side get a chance to open it up and play in the preseason. I hope we see some of that again. I know we're going to see it at edge rusher because we got a bunch of guys who are competing for those backup spots. But the cornerback spot, too. We got guys about to go out and win jobs in this preseason
or
game.
Lose.
It really will, Matt. Yeah, or lose jobs.
True.
And by the way, the Ojomo, he's got the defensive tackle job. Jordan Davis.
I'm not playing him.
He's having a really good camp. No.
I'm not playing Ojomo.
But he's not playing. Moro Ojomo's not playing. These D tackles, you got a ton of guys who are playing with a chance to win jobs, none of whom we really know at all. We know Ty Robinson because he was drafted.
Gabe Hall out there.
Byron Young, Gabe Hall, Jacob Sykes, Joe Evans. These are guys like from San Francisco, free agents from San Francisco, from the 49ers, from college football. You've got guys we've never heard of. Probably going to make this team.
When you need them for depth, you're going to get to know them.
They just traded Thomas Booker. Yeah, the fourth D tackle spot is wide open.
100%. Right.
By the way, Eagles pulled a fast one.
Yes.
With the depth chart, the first official depth chart this week. So I have a keen eye to look for, you know, the interesting spots. You know, you wanted to see safety, you wanted to see corner. So corner, you know, opposite of Quinyon. The starters, they've got two players listed for one spot with a slash in between. Adoree Jackson, you know, slash Keely Ringo. Like, it's up for grabs between those two. Safety, same thing, opposite of Reed Blankenship. Sidney Brown slash Andrew Mukubu. But they pulled a fast one at D-tackle. Starting defensive tackles, ultra-pluralized. Defensive tackle Jalen Carter, starter. Defensive tackle Jordan Davis, starter. Defensive tackle Moro Ojomo, starter. You don't put three out there on the field at the same time. It's nonsense.
Well, they could if they did a 3-4.
But they essentially don't.
Yeah,
3-4.
So here's
let me break it down. They didn't want to say Jordan Davis isn't a starter because he's a first-round draft pick.
He's a starter at nose tackle.
They didn't, but they didn't want to.
This is their base.
But
defense.
They didn't want to say he's not a starter. They know Moro Ojomo is going to play more.
They do put the three out there at the same time, though, in a 3-4 defense. Like, it's a nose tackle and two defensive tackles out there.
I mean, but they got edge guys. That's out there with Hunt and Nolan Smith. Like, they don't normally have five guys out there at the same time.
I'm saying base. That's the base.
They made a 12-man starter.
Correct. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, they definitely did.
They did.
No, they just don't want anybody to
start guys at different times.
It's base up front, and it's nickel behind. They have they have too many guys.
They pulled a fast
also,
one.
For those, it's okay. Do you remember this what Chip Kelly said about that?
On the line here, this really does matter. It matters to every single one of these guys that they be listed as a starter.
It's huge, so though. It is.
I don't know that it is with the team this. One. I mean, remember Chip Kelly when he was asked about what, like, he was asked a question about the unofficial depth chart. He's like, coaches don't care about that. He's like, Boyko filled that out, I think. Mm-hmm. Like, for the team ones that come out during training camp, I don't think those are getting any real information.
Ready for my statement? I do not believe that football operations do not have their hand in this depth chart. I just don't believe it.
No, I'm joking. I don't think that Boyko really filled it out for Chip. I'm just saying that when they put these together, they don't take them very seriously in terms of what they're putting out there.
But here's what I'm getting at. They didn't want to not list Jordan Davis as a starter.
Yeah, 100%.
Because he's making 10-something million. They committed to year five, and they didn't want to list him as a starter.
These charts matter more than you think. They matter more.
Oh, it matters to me.
They matter to me, too. They matter to the players a ton. And these find their way into the media guides before the games. I guarantee every single guy sits in front of his locker, opens it up to this, the roster, and makes sure he's a starter. I did it every single game. Every single game I ever played. That mattered to me.
Well, can I ask a quick question?
I'm talking about the preseason ones. Well, in season, they matter, obviously.
But, John, technically, and I'm being very technical here. Aren't you only a starter in an NFL game if you play the first play?
Yeah.
Which you as a fullback might not play because you might have three receivers.
It used to be you were 95% regular personnel. So you had two backs,
on first and
one
ten.
Tight end, and two wide receivers.
Yeah, yeah.
It was always regular that you'd start a game at.
I got you. All right.
So, yeah.
Let's get to some of this audio of Kepler. So, Eagles tomorrow. We'll be talking a ton about them tomorrow. Kepler spoke a lot after the game last night, both with T-Mac and John Kruk, and then also at his locker room. Let's get to the audio of the interview with Tom McCarthy and John Kruk on NBC Sports Philadelphia. Two notable things Kepler said. We'll start with this when he began the process of opening up about some of what he's gone through.
There's some relief behind it. I feel like I've been battling the unlucky type ball and play with no result for a long time in my career. So I just kind of try and put my head down and keep going. This one's been tougher than I think the most in my career if I reflect on it. But I really am not trying to reflect too much and just trying to stay present and keep moving forward.
All right, Kepler last night. He also said more because then that interview continued and this occurred.
Phillies fans sometimes can be a little rough, Max. They were complaining yesterday that y'all scored too many runs because they wanted to see Durant come in the game.
Yeah, I mean, sometimes I think the boos are their love language, you know, so.
That's it.
But, yeah, I don't know why they were booing towards the end of that last inning there. But, you know, I think I've given up trying to figure it out.
Yeah.
I'm here doing my thing.
Well, let me ask you, how do you stay present? How do you stay present after all these years playing baseball?
It's hard. To be honest, I can't say I have been the most present lately. But I just try and confide in my brothers and just enjoy what they do, watch them do their thing, and try and play small ball. And when I try and, you know, like I laid down a bunt in New York, and if I play unselfish baseball, then I feel like I'm within the team and the collective, and I'm not as, you know, thinking about the results having to come my way in the future. So,
well,
that's a beautiful way to think.
It really is.
Look, very forthcoming last night from Kepler.
Unbelievable.
Very forthcoming.
Boos are our love language, or the fans' love language. He may not be playing very good baseball lately, aside from last night, but he understands the fans.
Yeah, he
understands that we care.
We care.
He definitely gets it, and he might not be in town ever again.
Yeah, no, he could be gone soon.
That might be it for him.
Could be it. Yeah. Let's go to Tom in Abington right now. Yo, Tom.
Yo, gang. How we doing this morning?
Doing well, Tom. How about you?
Hey. I'm good, but John, I don't know. The sun's starting to peek out here. They might want to postpone this tennis match.
Could you imagine if that occurred? Holy man!
Kind of, because that's what we saw last week. It was a late, late postponement.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah, it was.
It's not going to happen today.
Yeah, it was nice of Mrs. Both John to call in. do you guys know he's a bully?
Which one, Spike?
Mrs. Both John, yeah.
Yeah, he just tries to act like a tough guy.
Well, no, Hugh Douglas said he was a bully yesterday on the air, so I'm just going off of what Hugh said.
I did not hear that. Okay.
Hugh said Spike is a bully.
correct? Yeah. Yeah, it was a whole thing yesterday. But, Joe, I need you to go out, and I need you to win this thing 6-0 today. You got that?
So I'd certainly like to do that, and I do. Look, if Jack can't play, I'm going to win convincingly. Now, I can't tell you I might not lose a game or two if he can't play, because I could have my own errant shots. But if he's not very good, I expect to win comfortably.
Yeah, I expect you to win this comfortably as well.
Because Tom, let me just say this. I said it yesterday. It's worth saying again. Goal number one today is to win. Goal number two today is to make a statement.
Yes.
And that statement is to Fritz, to Spike, to Ike, and to everyone who has doubted me in this process. I want to put doubt in their minds if I go up 2-1 in convincing fashion that I actually can win this thing. Because
see,
I know I can.
Together, Joe.
Yeah, I know I can. And there's still a lot of people. Like Spike, to me, is too confident that Jack will beat me in basketball. Maybe he will. Maybe he won't. I don't know. But I know this. I'm preparing for what I need to prepare for. And I know I've got some basketball skill. I'm not great, but I know I can shoot. And I know I can do some crafty stuff. And I know that he'll get my best shot. And we don't know if Jack can reach down and give an opponent his best shot consistently. He did great in baseball. He did. He did great.
Yep.
But we'll find out.
All right. Sounds like you got that all together. So Max Kepler is not a Philly guy. I think we can all say that, right? Their booing is their love language. Who says that?
Yeah, someone from the Midwest.
I like that. Like, I don't...
You know he's German, right? He's from Germany.
Trying to get
is it Germany?
Germany.
Yeah, he's the first German baseball player. He's from Germany. Like, he is a German.
East or West?
It feels very evolved.
I think he's too young for that to matter.
It kind of sounds like English might be a second language, the way he talks. There's like an uncomfortableness when he speaks.
So, Devin, I'm struck by you. You're cool with them. And I'm not bothered by it. But I do think it applies more to younger people talking that way. But I think older people, like the love language thing, is not a Philadelphia way of talking about sports.
Not even close.
It's not.
I mean, I have zero problem with it. I don't. Yeah, like I guess
it's fine. It's a little different, but it's fine.
It's a weird thing to say.
It's weird.
It is.
I don't think it's that weird.
I think it's creative.
I liked it actually.
I
did you
respect
say creepy,
that.
John?
No, it's creative to look
creative.
At it that way.
Okay.
Tom, what's the proper time for me to go to the bathroom the last time before the competition? Because I'm thinking like 2 minutes from now.
27.
I think you're thinking too much about going to the bathroom.
Whenever
you don't know how bad I have to go to the bathroom.
No, I get it.
Tom, we got to go.
Tom, we got to end this. Tom, we got to end the segment. I got to go to the bathroom. Give me an answer. Give me a funny scene involving a female.
Well, I cannot unsee Elaine Benes do her dance.
Great answer.
I've been waiting for that one. Tom, good call. Hey, Tom, will you be there today?
Of course I'll be there as long as you actually play the match.
We're playing the match. Good call, Tom. Appreciate it. All right, Elaine's dance, Seinfeld, good stuff. 215-592-9494. I meant to get to it earlier. We'll get to it next. Schwarber on the praise that he received from Ryan Howard. Obviously, Schwarber's got a shot to track down Ryan Howard's team record for homers in a season. What Schwarber said, we'll play that, plus times yours, phone calls, and all the topics on 94 WIP.
After years of wear and tear, you finally made a decision. It is time for you to get a knee, hip, or shoulder replacement. You've talked to your doctor. You got a date set. Well, the team at NovaCare Rehabilitation is here for you because what you might not know is attending physical therapy before your replacement surgery can significantly help your recovery and movement post-surgery. Then once you have your new replacement, here's the best part. You already know, you already trust NovaCare's physical therapists to help you fully heal because they are experts in balanced gait training and pain management because your joint replacement needs are very unique. NovaCare's team will develop an individualized treatment plan. It's going to get you back to feeling strong. Most importantly, back to the things that you love to do. I know two people who've actually done this in the past year, different replacement surgeries they had. They went to rehab before, and it's made a huge difference in their recovery. To learn more about the benefits of physical therapy before and after your joint replacement surgery, or to schedule an appointment at one of their 150 convenient locations, go to NovaCare.com. NovaCare, the power of physical therapy.
You've been listening to the best of the Phillies on Sports Radio 94 WIP.
And it's swung on, crushed. And that is the first hit for Harrison Bader. It's a three-run home run. Straightaway left field. Bader rounding between second and third. Puts his hands out to his sides and looks skyward. Harrison Bader's 13th of the year. No doubt about it. He crushed it.
Yeah, he did crush it. Last night, Harrison Bader, his first Phillies home run. Welcome back. Midday Show. Hugh Douglas, Joe Gilley. We're live today from the NovaCare Complex for 94 WIP's Champ Camp, driven by Forest River RV, by Campbell RV Sales Service Parts and Accessories. All right, we'll get back to your phone calls in a minute here on all this stuff. You can react to Landon with us as well. There's no way he's let you touch his lawn, by the way. That's what I took from that.
No.
When he was talking about the different blades of grass and the color, I was like, "This, you're out of your depth."
Have you seen his Instagram page?
Yes, he puts
he,
up.
He
well, I love how his wife puts up. He has no idea how it works, and his wife puts up all the pictures.
I mean, that's probably most individuals. Yeah. But yeah, he really loves his grass, man. Yeah. I remember when he got the mower, right? Mm-hmm. And he was so excited about it. And then to see some of the posts that he has with it and everything, it's therapy. I can imagine, you know, where he lives and the acreage that he has. I could imagine it's nothing but therapy for
him.
Yeah,
he obviously loves it. And fun talking to him as we get ready for this Eagles season. And he's obviously a huge part of the one of the best, if not the best, again, offensive line in the sport. He sounds like he thinks Tyler Steen is ready to play right guard at a high level.
He's a really good dude, too, man. I love talking football with that guy.
Yeah, and he can tell he loves talking football, which makes it fun. So we appreciate Landon coming on here. All right, so Harrison Bader last night, Hugh, it's that home run. I have to make a very clear declaration to the Phillies. Okay, Hugh?
What's that? They apologize?
No, not apology. They shouldn't even think about not having this guy in the lineup tonight. So they said on Friday they were going to do a six-day platoon, right? Because they were facing alternating lefties and righties for 6 days. So they were going to run the left-handed lineup, which would be when Bader and Weston Wilson play, like mm-hmm. last night. And then the right-handed lineup when they play Marsh and they play Kepler. They're going to do that back and forth for 6 days, and then they're going to reassess. They better not even think about doing that tonight.
Not after last night.
Harrison Bader has to be in the lineup. In fact, can we just cut the crap and put him in the lineup every day? I've watched him for 4 days here. I mean, I've seen his career before he got here, but I've watched him for 4 days here. He's the best outfielder we have by a long shot. The idea that he wouldn't play tonight after that last night is crazy. I mean, enough of the platoon thing. If you want to platoon left field, fine. Stick Bader in center and just play him every single day. I just don't see any logic to him not being in the lineup tonight.
It's amazing how, like, one moment could change the way that people feel about you, especially here in the city. I mean, baseball is no doubt a roller coaster ride within itself.
Yep.
But to have a guy that when we traded for him, it was kind of like, I mean, it kind of brought the room down. It kind of brought everybody's high down.
And it was really more about we had our sights set on
you had some other things. Yeah, I get it. But
not about him so much.
Yeah. And he's been pretty decent. Mm-hmm. But it was like you felt like he's just a guy. You know what this kind of feels like when I was in Atlanta, like when they got Jock Peterson.
Yeah, but Jock was pretty good.
He was pretty good. And it feels like in a small sampling size, because I know you people probably going to jump all over me and say, he was a small sample size. But – that was a real feel-good moment last night in a 13-3 rout.
And that home run by Bader, really, that won the game, right? Because that made it 6-3, and then they never looked back after that. Is Bader just a guy? Probably, and that's kind of what his career has been.
Feels like a throwback. You know what he feels like to me with Duran being in the bullpen and him being out there? They've kind of switched the suburban energy a little bit. Sound like you might be playing some you know, some reggaeton.
Both bring energy. Bader certainly brings energy.
I don't think Bader brings suburban energy.
Yeah, I'm not sure what
you think. Bader, no, I didn't say, no, I said the music in the minivan is different now. It's a little bit of reggaeton.
Yeah, well, okay. but also, I don't think Bader has suburban energy.
No, that's the point. He brings a little bit something different.
Bader's got like rural energy. Like he's
rural,
like he's
country.
He's a farm boy, yeah. What he looks
he
like.
Has.
Yeah.
He has. He would run through the stadium wall.
Hillbillyish.
Sure.
Here's what he is: better than everything else we have in the outfield. So even if he is just a guy, we have below that standard in the outfield right now.
It's also not one moment, Hugh. Like I get Bader just had one moment. We watched an entire season of Max Kepler so far.
Yes,
he sucks. He stinks.
I'm that. That's the words you choose to use.
No, in the context of the sport he plays,
that's the truth.
He stinks.
I mean, and I respect both you guys' opinion when it comes to that.
I just know this. Don't, if Bader's out of the lineup to tonight, dance around Kepler,
it. He's not good.
I don't like to use the word stink.
Okay, say he's not good.
He struggled a little bit.
Who's better, Bader or Kepler?
Okay, right now, Bader.
That's it. That's okay.
There
I don't need anything else tonight.
Okay.
Rob Thompson, if you're listening on your way to the stadium, don't you even dare write Kepler in that lineup over Bader tonight.
Don't, and if he does,
I'll yell. I'm not going to do anything else.
I'm going to yell.
I'll come on the radio tomorrow and yell about it.
Yell at the top of my lungs.
I mean, I don't have much power besides there's a microphone that is
all.
Yeah.
No,
I'll just yell and I'll get other people to yell with me. We'll be very loud together. No one wants to see Kepler. We want to see Bader.
No,
please.
I get it.
Okay.
I get it.
Yeah, I can't wait for the lineup to come out. This would be a departure, though, because they said they were doing the six-day thing, right? So
yeah.
this would be, if he's to his word, Kepler's going to play tonight and Bader's not. And if I'm to my word, I'm going to yell about it very loudly tomorrow. 215-592-9494. Just play Bader every day. By the way, there is a clip making the rounds out there where you, Hugh, called Spike Eskin a bully.
A little bit.
Yeah, and he's not happy about it.
No, he texted me.
Yeah.
He said these claims are outrageous.
Well, they are. I mean, in the context of the email, it makes no sense.
Well, and see, Spike told on himself. I mean, I don't like to, you know, we have a thing about, we don't, because of HIPAA law, we don't talk about text messages.
This
is not HIPAA.
Well, compared, Jack, yeah. Jack said
well, I
HIPAA.
Think private text messages, it's more HIPAA. It's more a, just.
Jack invoked HIPAA.
Also, don't use Jack as your benchmark.
No, but I am. Yes, I am.
So are you.
HIPAA.
It's not HIPAA.
HIPAA.
I think it's more common courtesy not to read group text on the air.
But you know you were wrong when you start out the text, I was overly nice. He said he was overly
nice. Well, I think he was trying to guard against me.
That was his downfall.
But he was trying to make people feel like they didn't have to do it. He you took it the total opposite way.
Because he was overly nice.
It's a company email. What is he supposed to say?
Without going into too much detail, when we're in the studio,
what
is Spike greeting to us every day? Thank you. You ain't even got to say it.
Hey, guys.
Yeah.
No, every day. Hold on. There is a difference between, would you not agree with this?
What?
How you interact with someone you see every day and only they can hear you versus a company-wide email.
See, now you're making
There's email, Spike. And there's in-person Spike.
You're making excuses.
Yeah, and there's on-air. We all have different versions of our own personality.
I am me all the time. This is me.
Well, this might be why you don't send emails.
That might be the truth.
Hugh can't even get into his email.
That's true.
Yeah, it's been a while.
Hold on a second. Did you even see the email?
I did, because he sent it to my personal email.
Oh. He found the personal one.
Yeah, he found the personal, because there's this little rumor going around that ain't off my email here in a while.
It's not a rumor.
It's not a rumor. This is fact.
It's a rumor. But he was overly nice. That was his downfall.
Quote, today is the last day to submit to have your vote count. Thank you to everyone who has done already.
See, that's what it was. He was putting pressure on me.
No, I think it's almost.
Thank you to everyone else.
You played in the NFL.
He put pressure on me.
This is pressure?
A little bit.
It's a Google Doc. You just put in your Mount Rushmore people. A
little bit of pressure.
Type in Allen Iverson. You click submit. You move on with your day. A
little bit of pressure. It was just pressure. Spike's a bully.
Okay. Let's go back to the phone lines here. Black Gritty, who we had to put on hold for Landon Dickerson. He's back up. Hey, Black Gritty.
And it is a HIPAA violation because you read them texts, somebody end up in the hospital. So go ahead, you. Tell them it's a HIPAA violation.
I'm living my truth, Black Gritty. I'm living my truth.
Hey, look. You stand on business. Don't let that chihuahua bark at you. He overly nice because he know how I be. Anywho. The Ryan Howard thing, let me just get on that real quick. Watching Ryan Howard makes you feel sort of weird. I watch him on first base every night. He was hitting a home run. I just got to see that big smile on his face and just watching him. Schwarber's like an assassin. He comes out of the tunnel. He hits nuclear bombs and he just goes away. I know he's not good at it. I know he's not there to play. But when I see him out there in left field and I see the big old bear stumbling, bumbling, catching ball on his back and roll around the ground, he's happy. It makes me love Schwarber even more. Not that I don't. It's just there's a different vibe with Howard versus Schwarber. But Schwarber is nuclear right now. He's the hottest thing in the country. He's getting paid $700 million Shohei Ohtani money. Because every time he steps up to the plate, he's like, pay me what you owe. Pay me what you owe. So I fully understand what you're saying. But I just don't like bringing Howard up into it. Secondly, Hugh, I have inside knowledge. This isn't true or factual, but I'm going to say it's true or factual because we're on the radio. Big Dom took the P-Day out there to go get that for you. I mean, he ain't had time to pack nothing. He was already on the runway waiting for him to get out of the locker room.
Yeah, they went and got him.
yeah, they
on a red eye.
The sky. He ain't get right there. He went out there and got him straight out. But for what I'm saying, I'm not worried about the back end, Kyle. Not because I got Sewell-itis. It's because I got Vic Fangio. And Vic's like, hey, I need some help. Y'all going to have to go do something. Vic's not going to let it stand. If there's a problem on the defense, I believe in Vic telling Howie to go do what he needs to do. He ain't out here trying to get Michael Parsons or any of this other dumb junk, but he's going to fix that defense in a way that Carter goes out there with that front, the back end's going to be okay. So that ain't great because they need some help, apparently. But I believe in Vic Fangio.
But is it not worry is a little bit different than being fully confident.
I think, oh, they're crazy. I'm just trying to help them people out because I know why they delusional.
Don't do that.
We all drinking the same juice, baby. You know what I mean? Until over the night comes, they drop that banner. We all still on that goofy juice. It is what it is. Hugh, stand on business and protect your HIPAA laws. I'll talk to y'all.
All right, Black Gritty. We appreciate you. This is not HIPAA violation. There's no HIPAA.
Jack said it was HIPAA. He said it was a HIPAA violation. Yeah,
that's not who you want to, like, you don't want to parrot him.
Today, it fits my narrative. Mm-hmm.
All right, speaking of narratives, guess who's released a statement as he is a few weeks away from being eligible to return?
Who?
Jose Alvarado, former Phillies closer. Jose is getting his way back.
What
here.
Did he say?
Jose,
did he say, wait a minute, first of all, did he start out, I'm sorry?
I'll read it to you. Okay. I have the entire statement here. He posted this on Instagram, and I believe we are 2 to 3 weeks away from him being eligible to return here for the stretch run. Of course, we know he's not eligible for the postseason, but he can pitch down the stretch of the season. And we didn't hear from him. Remember when he got suspended on that Sunday?
Yeah, he didn't say nothing. He dipped.
He booked. So we didn't hear from him. He didn't talk. Here is Jose Alvarado's statement just about 15 minutes ago. May 18th was a very difficult day for me. That day, MLB announced the positive result of a doping test conducted in March 2025. I am fully aware that using prohibited substances is wrong, and I would never intend to do so because I've always had great respect for the game, my organization, my teammates, and the fans, all of whom I want to offer my sincere apologies. I made a mistake, and therefore I have faced the consequences set forth by MLB. Going forward, my focus is on working hard to help the team win. Once again, I offer my deepest apologies to the Phillies organization, my teammates, my family, my country, Venezuela, the city of Philadelphia, and the fans who have always supported me, especially the children and young people. There is always a lesson to be learned in every mistake. I thank God for giving me the strength to overcome this situation. I am glad to be back and ready to support the team, Jose Alvarado.
You know what? Shut up.
I'm okay with that. The timing, I know for a lot of people, the timing is probably not what you want it to be, but he apologized. I'm okay with that.
Yeah, I mean, we got to
move on.
That's
how you apologize, by the way.
Yeah, that is a full – that you're right, Kyle. That is a full –
responsibility.
Who? The whole thing.
Alvarado.
Well, I will say this.
Better than whatever you threw out in that first segment.
Well, I'll say this. Whenever I'm given the opportunity to apologize like that, I will.
No.
You have 4 hours a day to apologize for your takes.
What was I apologizing for?
Well, you know, the fact that you offended Cole Hamels.
I didn't offend
–
no.
You also basically blamed Spike for you not submitting a Mount Rushmore.
Spike's intimidated.
Like, at the end of the day, you passed the buck to Spike.
I am a team player. Mm-hmm. Me and Ben Davis sat back there this morning, as a matter of fact. And me and Ben, we discussed it, and he showed me the error of my ways. I was playing semantics. Mm-hmm. Now, there's a difference between being an athlete and athletic. Now – with that being said, I still stand on business.
It's
not like Zach is not athletic. He's an athlete. I give him that.
I think you're downplaying how athletic you have to be to have the stamina to throw 100 pitches at 97 miles an hour.
No, and that's what I said. Yeah. He's an athlete. He's not athletic.
But that there's athleticism to doing what he does.
Absolutely
is. Nah.
I actually think starting pitchers are more like marathon runners. The stamina they need.
I can see Zach being a marathon runner. I can
marathon
give him that.
Runners
but
aren't
those
athletes.
Those are athletes.
Those are impeccable athletes.
No, but he's not that. I can see he has the body type of marathon.
But that's
runner.
What I mean. But because he's a pitcher, no. Yeah, because he has to have stamina.
Zach,
7 innings.
You're not. You're athlete, but you're not athletic.
If this was an apology, this is a sad Zach, apology.
If we get
but
him
Zach,
in spring training,
but
next
see,
year,
see, here's the
we're
thing,
have
though.
You say that to his face.
Here's the thing, though. Zach, know I got love for him. He knows that. And when we get to spring training, I'll tell you.
What's really the worst part about this is he told us 2 spring trainings ago he listens to us on the way.
And that's
and
what
now,
Zach,
he's, now he's going to turn he that radio
we,
off because
we,
of you.
We understand each other. He know what I'm talking about.
I don't know about that.
I bet you right now if we, in spring training, we got time. He couldn't give you 25 push-ups.
I think Zach Wheeler could do 25
foot. I mean, this is just insulting.
I mean, that is insulting.
There's no way.
Well, doesn't Spike claim he can do like 250 in a day? Well, then Zach Wheeler can do 25.
Spike's a bully.
What are you talking about?
Spike's a bully.
Nah, you're all over the place. Yeah, let's go to.
It's not my first day.
It is not. All right, let's deal with this. Big V and Mount Laurel. Hey, Big V.
Hey, what's going on, fellas?
Big V, what's up?
Hey, first of all, I'm going to give you a chance to walk back that statement that you had earlier this week and last week.
Which
about
one?
Us selling the farm to win.
I'm talking about you.
That I wanted them to do that?
Yes.
Why would I take it back?
Because we didn't do that, and we're winning.
Well, they've played four games at the deadline.
Two series.
Don't worry. You'll see it when we host that, you know, World Series championship trophy.
Well, then perhaps then I will say they didn't need to do this. They had vision. I was wrong. That day is not today, Big V.
Kyle, drop that one because I'm going to hold him to those words.
Sure. If the Phillies win the World Series without getting a bigger bat, I will say Dave Dombrowski was right. I'm glad that he didn't listen to me. I'd be happy to say that, but that day's not today after three wins against the Tigers and Orioles in August.
Uh-huh. Okay. State it now, but that's okay. Now, next thing, Hugh, I understand you're standing on business, and, you know, Spike can be a bit abrasive, you know, and then, you know, a guy of your stature looking at a guy like Spike, who you think of somebody you used to shove in their locker in high school, and now he's your boss.
He's not our boss.
First of all,
he's our coworker.
I was not a bully in high school. Sounds like I was a bully.
I just don't believe that.
That's your story.
I was not a bully. I promise you I wasn't a bully in high school.
That's right up there with defense is a luxury.
Wow. Now
I actually believe you on this. I believe you on this.
You got 5 minutes, I'm going to break your face.
Spike's a bully.
Yes, I believe you that he wasn't a bully in high school. But also, Spike's not our boss. He comes on after us.
Yeah,
he's not our boss. He just comes on after.
Right, he's on the show after we're on the show. Like he's a coworker.
Since we're here now, it did take Spike a minute to adjust to not being a boss.
Well, and that makes sense, right? He was doing that for a while. But the email, this email,
it was a little pushy.
It wasn't.
It was pushy. It was so pushy.
It wasn't.
When you start your email is by saying that I'm being nicer than I usually am.
No, he didn't say that in the email. That was a private text to you.
That I shared it with everybody.
The email was, quote, today is the last day to submit to have your vote count.
That's pushy.
Thank you to everyone who has done already. Go Birds, and a link to a Google Doc.
That was pushy.
That is pushy,
Joe.
What it is
because he was like, to all urgency, you.
Please.
It's really
to,
not. It's just a it's reminder
to,
that. That,
it's
that,
to all of you who did it already, and to you slackers that haven't. That's
so you,
what it was.
So you felt lazy.
He did. He made me feel uncomfortable.
Well, maybe if you didn't slack in the first place,
that's
it wouldn't have hit you the way it did.
Like, okay, we just acknowledged that
the shoe fit.
It's something that we all have busy days, and Spike was being overly aggressive situation.
I found I like you had not filled it out before the second email. I didn't do it with the first email. I got lazy, but the second email provided a friendly reminder, and I said, oh, you know what?
I don't feel like it was friendly.
He didn't think it was friendly. It wasn't warm and fuzzy to you. It was more cold and prickly. And
how would you have worded the email, you guys?
Me?
Yeah.
Oh. Hey guys. Hope you guys are doing well.
But, he sees us every day.
But we have to, you know, we're trying to get people to submit their Mount Rushmore so we can get it done. Hey, it would be nice if you could kind of get it done today. If not, do it at your leisure. Thank you very much.
There can't be leisure when the list has to be done so he could count them.
He was putting pressure on people. See, that's what I'm talking about.
The leisure thing, this is, you can't have that.
Yeah, but
there's deadlines. There's deadlines here.
See, I'm going to go back, and I'm going to get the first list of the Mount Rushmore and show you how much nicer that was.
Than the first email?
Yes, when we first did it. It was nicer.
Oh, like the last time they did this?
Yes.
You mean top 11?
Yes.
Okay. Can you even get into your email? You're not going to be able to find it.
Let me see about it.
All right, Big V, what else you got? Anything else?
But you let me say this. I mean, for a guy who's been in production, and first let me say this. I've never been a Spike Exka fan. Okay. But sometimes when you're doing production and you're putting together projects that you want to come off and look really great, you are under a bit of stress. And anything or anyone being passively aggressive and slowing up your production time frame can be a bit annoying. So, Hugh, next time,
See, I found the first one. This one was so much nicer.
What is this from? Top 11 Week?
This is the Top 11 Week.
So this was about 2 months ago.
He said, "Hey, friends, the WIP Afternoon Show is doing their second annual Top 11 Athletes in Philadelphia rankings again. This week, listeners submit their list. Next week, we count them down.
Yeah.
Like last year, we want the final rankings to be 50% fan and 50% WIP staff vote. If you can find the time by the end of the week, please hit the link below and send us yours. Remember to include your name. We will use your votes in the final ranking and potentially discuss your specific list."
So
that was so much nicer.
But there was a original email for the Mount Rushmore thing that was very similar to that one. And that was on July 30th. "Hi, friends. The WIP Afternoon Show is back on our nonsense next week for our second annual Mount Rushmore week. At the bottom of this list is a form to fill out if you want yours counted. Of course, the more votes, the better. I may reach out to you next week so you can either discuss your list or do one of the Mount Rushmore things with us. Again, I thank you for participating. What a summer of stupid lists we've had."
And see, this is the one. This is the last one that I got. And see, you ain't been reading it right.
What do you mean I'm not reading it right?
This is how it read to me. "Today is the last day to submit you have your vote count. Thank you to everyone who has done it already."
Did you see the original email?
I ain't talking about that one. I'm talking about this one.
Yeah, right, but if you today, add the two
let me,
of them
let me
together.
Read, like, see, this is how
because
I read.
You ignored the
today
first email
is
for
the
days.
Last day to submit to have your vote
because
count.
Because that's the fact.
Today is the last day. That's aggressive. That's cowboys.
You're the only one who thinks it's
I
aggressive.
I am not the only one that thinks it's aggressive. How many people agree with me?
No, almost, forget the Twitter poll.
No, we never forget the Twitter poll.
No, we can because you know the
they
Twitter
might just
people.
Just be clicking in general that Spike's a bully.
Right,
without
it's
the
like
context.
If you put up a poll, who's right, Joe or Hugh?
Who
you get 75% right.
Should I try that right now?
Who put the poll?
Blind 75%, Douglas, maybe 90%, because you hit Jim Miller and I didn't. Okay, like sometimes the Twitter polls are what they are.
We don't need context in these polls, but in this case, Kyle put it up and it's valid. People agree with me. What's the poll?
Just in this case.
What's I'm not telling you. 215-592-9494. Devin's going to join us here at training camp. What she noticed out there, including Hurts. I felt from my vantage point today, Hurts had some misses. I mean, just throws he can make, and he makes all the time. He was missing. What did Devin think? What do you think of the offense and the new corner? What does it say about the trade they made? Your calls on all this. Schwarber, Ryan Howard, as he reached peak Howard level to you? The secondary, are you confident in? The Eagles made a big trade last night. And this whole Hugh Spike thing, whose side are you on? I mean, to me, Spike just gave us a reminder, hey, you want to be part of Mount Rushmore Week, and Hugh feels bullied. 215-592-9494, Midday Show, Sports Radio 94 WIP.
This is the best of the Phillies on Sports Radio 94 WIP.
It is the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz. We are counting down to the start of the 2025 Eagles season, sort of.
Yeah.
As the first preseason game is tonight, Eagles-Bengals first. The kickoff at 7:30 you can hear on WIP and the free Odyssey app. We are at the Pepsi Plaza at Lincoln Financial Field here on Jalen Hurts' birthday as we celebrate
Jalen Hurts Appreciation Day.
Yep.
This is going to be a yearly tradition, Spike, as we keep racking these things up, pal.
Yep. Every August 7th is Jalen Hurts Appreciation Day.
It's going to be renamed Jalen Day.
It should be.
It actually should be February, whatever date they win the Super Bowl every year on.
It should be both days, if we're being honest.
Yep.
The Twitter question is brought to you by Marsh Jewelers for a one-of-a-kind experience that makes diamond buying less stressful. Visit the home team at Marsh Jewelers online at marsh-jewelers.com. We're asking the same question on Twitter as we are on the air, is what is your favorite quality about Jalen Hurts? Here's a good one. He's the kind of guy who won his first Super Bowl and won't wear the ring because he's too focused on this upcoming season.
Oh, yeah,
there
man.
You go.
Just blank canvas this season.
Yep.
This season. Now,
granted, he's the only one that didn't wear a suit.
He's the only one. Yes. Again, you are allowed to smile.
Yeah.
Does he come out for the opening night when they unveil the banner? Is he on the field for it?
Yes.
Okay, good.
He has to be. Oh, could you imagine if he wasn't?
Man.
Yeah, we're not. Well, I mean, we would spin it.
People
as
would
he's
like, yeah.
Are you kidding me? Yeah.
He's in the locker room. He doesn't want to be distracted.
Yep. All right. There is still another team playing in
town. He's missed out on. Yeah. He would have missed out on another part of the celebration of what comes with winning a championship.
Nope. No joy. No joy. I'm sure there's a Bible verse that Chuck has for why shouldn't be out there for.
And I'm sure in the Kobe and Jordan handbook there was don't celebrate any rings.
Well, Jordan certainly celebrated.
They got
celebrated.
Their rings on ring night. Yep. They celebrated.
I know.
There is another team playing right now. We'll talk about them now.
It's time for the High Hopes Jackie Baseball Report. Tez Jackie Baseball.
I mean, it wasn't the crispest setup.
Nah. Yeah, it was.
I don't think.
Other hand, Gam, you don't deserve a crisp setup.
I'm Team Buzz on that one.
Nah, I'm not Team Buzz.
I know. Well, you're never Team Buzz.
I'm always Team Buzz, but I am number one. This is where me and Jalen are the same. I'm Team Excellence. All I care about is excellence.
That's good.
Yep.
That's good. I'm proud of you. So some news and notes here.
Yeah.
David Robertson last night at Lehigh Valley.
Looked good.
Up to 94 on the gun.
Yep.
Two strikeouts. And keeping the hope alive for 40-year-olds out there everywhere.
Yep.
That he can still get the job done. So I believe his first target date was August 5th of being brought up. That has obviously passed.
Yeah, we passed that one.
But seems like we're trending in the right direction. At least the stuff is trending up. He threw 15 pitches, 9 strikes. So David Robertson could be on the way soon.
That's good. See, he was at 90, I think, the last time he was thrown. So getting up to 94, that's good.
Yep. Thought this was interesting. And if you see a smile on Ike Reese's face, just know that it's only for the YouTube crowd and not for the on-air crowd. What? But alarming thought from Buster Olney about Kyle Schwarber's pending free agency. So Schwarber's going to make big money in free agency in the fall, no matter where he lands. Some friends of his in the game wonder if he'd prefer to play closer to his Midwest roots.
Uh-oh.
You know where he's from?
Right outside Cincinnati. We'll take him.
Schwarber back to the Midwest, Cincinnati, goes back to Ohio.
He's easily hitting 40 a year in that park.
In his sleep. Yeah. So Kyle Schwarber, the idea of going back to the Midwest.
I think he's a Philly unless he gets a Godfather offer somewhere.
Yeah, and a team like that has the ability to do it because they're not really paying anybody else right now. Yeah.
But they also don't generally pay out big contracts.
Yeah, but you at some point you got to move past that.
You would think.
At some point they just made a big trade to get the starting pitcher. I can't think of his name. Lytle.
Oh, Zach, he's not a huge starting pitcher. Little? I don't know, whatever.
Well, I think he just went 7 innings in one hit, I mean, one run ball, man.
Oh, look at you breaking down
Rob's baseball. Well, I'm just saying, man. Listen,
wow.
I keep an eye on it, man. Yeah. Wow. Listen, it's Schwarber. Listen, it's on the Phillies.
It is on the Phillies.
It's on the Phillies. If they let Schwarber get to the open market and they don't want to match or give him an offer that he can't refuse to where he's not looking somewhere else, then it's on them. Yeah, it's on the Phillies.
I think he'll be here unless somebody gives him a dumb offer. When I say dumb,
I'm with you. A team like the Reds will overpay you because, again, that's the only guy they have to worry about paying.
If they go 5-150 or something, the Phillies might look at it and say, I don't know. But as long as that doesn't happen, I think the Phillies pay him.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm
getting nervous yet, Fritz.
I'm actually not that nervous about Schwarber. I would be surprised if he's not here. Like, I think, first off, they still believe they're in a World Series window. If you lose Schwarber, it's
Basically, I know it's just the window. No, you did.
Yeah, just one player, but I understand. It's hard to win a World Series if Kyle Schwarber is not here.
Let me ask you this, Jack.
Okay.
Let's say it's 4 years, 120 for Kyle Schwarber, or 2 years, $60 million for Eugenio Suarez. Like, they must look at that if that ends up being, because I think the normal market ends up being more like the Suarez deal. Like, do you think they consider it if they think they can get similar production if somebody offers him way too many years?
So I hear you, and I think if you were just doing it logically on paper, it could make sense. I just think that they view him as so important in that clubhouse as like the leader of the team that I don't think if you just did an apples to apples comparison, like numbers and less, I think he's just too important for the clubhouse.
Okay.
So tomorrow, a righty on the mound in Merrill Kelly. In your gut, I know the 6-day tryout is over. Between, are they going to put Kepler in there or out of there? Is Max Kepler in the starting lineup tomorrow night down in Texas? And Rob Thompson, do you stick with Max Kepler?
Yes.
Yes.
That would be my guess.
I'm just begging for a just ride out a Bader Marsh center and left field and see how it goes and turn Max Kepler into, like, hopefully 08 Jeff Jenkins.
I don't think that's
what's
going
to
happen.
What that is, but yeah. I'll say this. And I'm not doing some Max Kepler sort of rah-rah thing. But he's a veteran. He does provide a little power.
He does.
Over there.
He plays a good left field.
From the left side. He plays a good left field as far as defense goes. And I know there's talk about bringing Crawford up. Here's what I'll say to that. I'd rather have Kepler in the lineup and out there playing than Justin Crawford, who has yet to make a major league debut and be up here in tight, intense situations where he's relied upon. Can you imagine him coming up to bat and we need to get a big hit out of him?
I know.
I'd rather have Kepler.
And I don't know, again, I don't know what their plan is with Justin Crawford, because I agree with you. Unless their plan is we're going to bring him up, he's going to play left field every day or a lion's share of the time there, and we'll go with a Bader Marsh center field platoon, and Kepler is just going to be a bench bat. They have they just have too many lefties. There's not like a natural platoon there. You just have to commit to Kepler not being in there, and I don't think they're going to do that.
What they should do with Justin Crawford is let him start left field next year.
Yep.
Honestly,
start him fresh next year.
Yeah. That's
he
really
can't help this team right now. I don't think so.
Yeah. Again, unless it's tough because he has, and I don't totally buy it. He's a polarizing prospect. But he has produced at every level he's gone to, like hitting over 300, like with the ability to put the bat on the baseball, create havoc on the base pass. But I agree with you. I think Kepler has the ability to put the ball in the ballpark, which he will not be able to do at the big league level. So, I don't know. Dave Dombrowski said he's ready, but they don't want to bring him up unless he's going to play. And I just think that eventually it's going to lead to he's not coming up this year, Painter's not coming up this year, and we'll see you opening day 2026.
Well, and the Painter thing I'm fine with.
Yeah. But
Painter's last start was not good. You know, like that case, I'm not being a dooms guy, no. And it takes a while after you have the surgery, you know, 7-8 years to get your control back.
You are.
So so I think Andrew Painter will be on the Phillies by 2031.
Opening day next year.
Yeah. I mean, to be honest with you, I'm glad we aren't in this desperate situation where we need these young guys right now.
Sure.
Right? And I understand we don't have a perfect situation, but this is the bed that they've made. So we're going to have to go with this at the trade deadline. That was their opportunity to add significantly to this roster. Bringing up young players, to me, adds uncertainty, sure. not assurance. Like it doesn't provide me any security. It's more of an unknown. And for me, that needs to be sorted out early in the season.
Yeah.
This is not the time to sort that
out. Let them work their way through it. Let them have a cold streak and then a hot streak.
That's the time to do that is in April and May.
Well, and the comp is Johan Rojas in 23 when they brought him up from Reading. But they needed Johan Rojas because they didn't have a center fielder.
Right.
They don't theoretically need Justin Crawford right now.
No, they brought Bader in. And listen, you got to rotate the four guys out there. What is it, three of them? No, you got
Castian right, but
Castian, I'm not even including him because nobody rotates with him.
No. And I do wonder if you think in a playoff game, if they're up by two heading into the ninth, is he in right field or no?
Yes, he's in there.
Even though the best defensive outfield is clearly Kepler in right, Bader in center, and Marsh in left.
Not even close. Yeah.
It's not even close, is
it? Not even close.
I do hope it eventually works out to where Bader can just play center, Marsh can play left, and Kepler can be your pop-up.
Off the bench, yeah.
We'll see.
Yep.
But the one that is definitely concerning is still the Wheeler thing. I know that they poo-pooed it, saying like, there's nothing showing up on imaging. A 35-year-old pitcher with shoulder discomfort, who we'll see pitches if he pitches on Sunday. Again, as I said yesterday, just sit him for a month. And if he goes out kicking and screaming because he wants to win the Cy Young, so what? Like,
well, you sit him for a month. You're also going to need to build him back. I don't know about a month.
Skip three starts, four starts.
Okay. Oh, yeah.
It's too important.
2 weeks is fine.
For this year. Well, depending how the shoulder is.
Yeah.
But, like, it's too important year. To. Yeah. I don't want him. Here's my point. I don't want him gunning for the Cy Young.
He's not winning the Cy Young.
He's not winning the Cy Young.
Somebody's got to show him that he's not going to win the Cy Young. Yeah, he's not going to win the Cy Young. Yeah.
And with Nola coming back, he looked pretty good up in Lehigh Valley yesterday.
We're going to need my boy. He's always there.
He's taking the ball game three.
Yeah.
I'm just
–
There's no doubt he's taking the ball game three.
No doubt he's taking the ball game three. So Wheeler thing is probably the biggest thing to monitor with this baseball team, and if he makes a start on Sunday.
By the way, depending on who they're playing, he could take the ball game two.
Who?
Nola.
Yeah.
You think?
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. Depends, like, I would be surprised if it's not Sanchez game two, no matter what, with how he's pitched.
Well, also, who knows if they're going to be able to set their rotation.
That's it?
Is that it, Fritzy? Okay, there we go. And Phil's back in action tomorrow night against the Texas Rangers. I believe first pitch is 8:05.
And I don't think they've won there since 2014.
Great. Good timing. 215-592-9494. As our main thing today is celebrating the great Jalen Hurts on his birthday. Happy birthday, Jalen.
There you go.
27.
That feel good.
27 years great.
Yeah.
You know? And we're just looking for the thing that you like best about Jalen Hurts.
Do you think he even celebrates his birthday?
215. No, he's looking to the next one.
Exactly.
Yeah, constantly.
Next year's birthday.
Yep.
But then doesn't celebrate that birthday.
Nope, because he's looking to the next one. Mike in Ocean City, you're on WIP.
Gentlemen, I think I know what it's going to take for the Eagles to repeat as Super Bowl champions in San Francisco, Super Bowl 60.
What's that?
Just 185 more days.
Oh, so just waking up?
Yeah, you're just waiting for it.
happy 27th birthday to Jalen Alexander Hurts. What do I like about him? I mean,
is that his real middle name?
I think he has a – what's that?
Yeah. Wait a minute. Is Alexander really his middle name?
Is that his real middle name?
Yes, sir.
Oh, wow.
Okay, I didn't know that. Yeah.
I wouldn't have guessed.
It is Alexander, yeah.
Wow.
Okay.
Yeah.
Alexander the Great.
I think he has a consistent chip on his shoulder, and it never goes away. I know that's – whatever, it's not a skill level thing, but he, I don't know, man. I think when he sang the fight song at the NFC Championship game, you know, the Super Bowl they lost, I don't know, I think
yeah,
that just turned him
like
into don't celebrate until
did he?
Later in life, you know?
It was brutal.
Very toned down. Yeah.
I don't think, anytime anybody asks him to do anything now, he's like, no, I'm good. I'm all right. So, I don't know. I think he's, I'm saying all the cliche things, but he's a winner. I don't know. I like that he's leading our ship, and I feel like I think he's going to definitely win a second Super Bowl with the Eagles, and hopefully it's this year. But.
You know, Mike, he is – we're talking about this year being Jack joking about him saying this year is a blank canvas and blah, blah, blah. He's sort of – the way that he is sort of is like if things are going well – all of those things are great. Him not saying anything, not showing any emotion, you know, like from the way he plays to the way he acts. And then when they're not going well, you could take this. This is the thing that is most interesting about Jalen is that everything about him is like sort of context dependent. In that if they're not playing well, I could imagine his lack of emotion and those sorts of things and the not putting on the Super Bowl ring and all those sorts of things being frustrating. But when they are playing well, they look like a guy who is focused on winning, only wins games, blah, blah, blah. I think he is interesting in that we don't know much of anything. So the things that people are saying they like about him, I think – could be things that people say that they don't like about him if the team wasn't winning. So I think he's interesting for that reason.
I agree to an extent, but I also think he's a guy that learns from mistakes. And I don't know. I feel like his memory is he remembers everything. It feels like, and I like that about him. So I don't know. We'll see what happens.
All right, Mike. Mike, so you wanted to be in the afternoon show Fantasy Football League?
Yeah, can I give you just a quick little stupid thing I wrote on the call tonight? It won't take long.
Sure.
All right. Like Spike and Fritz, you guys truly are the boss. And Jack, real quick, I got to say I'm sorry for your loss. Now let's get down to business. Mike Promotion City, to not put me in the league, it would surely be a pity. I've been listening to WIP for over 30 years. The ups, the downs, the fun, the booze, especially the cheers. 5:30 Nickelback is always a hit. My favorite thing, though, is that...
It's Creed! It's Creed! Damn it! Come on, lock in! win.
Oh, Mike, that was
so good.
It was so good. And you said 5:30 Nickelback.
Damn it.
Oh, my God. And look, there's nothing against Nickelback.
Very like, pro Nickelback.
Pro Nickelback. It's a different band.
Oh, my God.
Oh, that was a crushing blow for everybody. He wrote a poem.
I wanted to put him in the league.
Nobody
proofread that before.
Damn it. Nickelback.
Yeah. Nickelback. We've been doing Creed for a year and a half.
Yeah. Oh, my God. What a painful moment on the show. Oh, he had his chance. Mike from Ocean City was right there.
Right in front of him.
It was right there.
And he blew it.
Yeah, it's like Leon Lett. You know, just let the football sit there. Don't touch it. Oh, my goodness.
It's right there.
Wait, was Leon Lett the guy who put the ball out and Don Beebe hit it? Oh, he did both of them. And then he slid into the football. Okay.
Yep.
215-592-9494. Oh, another birthday boy, OG Wade. You're on WIP.
What's up, fellas? How we doing today?
Oh, OG.
Happy birthday, big dog.
Thank you, man. And happy birthday to my other son, Spikey there. You know, Spike, you think you're sliding up under that radar, huh?
I was flying a little under the radar today.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, Spike's birthday?
Yes, the same day as Jalen and OG Wade.
Wow, greatness all in one.
Hold up. No one knew it was Spike's birthday.
Oh, I knew it was Spike's birthday.
Why didn't you say anything?
Because I was going to say it for the top five.
Oh, I waste the whole show?
Yeah.
I was going to call your brother. Hey, Spike. I was going to text your brother and tell him to give out your phone number.
Yeah, let me tell you. There will be 1 year where he breaks and he does it. Oh, thank you very much.
Happy 50th, buddy.
Yeah, I am not 50 yet. 49? I am 49.
Okay. Happy 50th.
I am 49. Let me have every year.
I forgot because Spike, he has Joel Embiid and I have Bryce.
I have Embiid.
Yes.
I have Jalen and OG Wade.
Will I be invited to your birthday party? Your 50th?
Nope. If there is a 50th.
Yep. Like if you make it to 50 or?
Well, Ike will be at a table with Hugh.
All the delegation. Make sure our table is strong.
Well, thank you, OG Wade.
Yeah. And Spike will be sitting down. I sent a gift out yesterday. I guess it was a video of the dog taking a crap in a birthday bag. And I was going to send that to Spike.
Oh, wow. What an honor. What an honor, OG.
Dog lover, you know what I'm saying? I had to throw that one in there.
Yeah.
But listen, let me say this here, man. This kid, man, Jalen Hurts, the Duke, you know, which all y'all should be calling him now because you said that. You said if we win the Super Bowl, we're all going to have to start calling him the Duke. But that's okay.
Yeah,
it hasn't caught on like we thought it was. It's not as catchy.
Doesn't make any sense.
Listen, it's for me, you know what I'm saying? So okay. I don't need people to catch on. But the one thing that I need to say about this young man is that I don't see a lot of players with it, and it makes them different. It's his mindset. You see what I'm saying? Mm. Like, when you look and see the Patrick Mahomes, who I believe has the mindset, the Josh Allen, the Joe Burrow, the Lamar. I'm talking about the ones that y'all put above Jalen. The one thing them guys lack is the mindset, because every time you see Lamar Jackson make a turnover, he grabs what? His helmet, right? Because he's like focusing like, damn, I outthunk myself on that. Same thing when you see Josh Allen turn the ball. The same, he grabs his head. This is what I'm – and people, you can overrate it or underrate it all you want.
This is where we break. This is where we break.
419.
First of all, Lamar threw like four interceptions last
year. What about the mentality when he took a safety against the Rams in the playoffs?
The one that I'm talking about is when the moment is big. Like in the playoffs, when he threw that interception, and he also fumbled in that Buffalo game. That little drop by the tight end in the end, whatever, that's only going to tie the game up. That wasn't going to win them the game. You see what I'm saying?
Sure.
So it was the moment. So it's the big moment that these guys find themselves choking in, just like Josh Allen did. He choked in the moment that was big for them. They needed that play to be made, and it was there to be made. He could not make that play.
Jalen makes every.
But that's different than choking.
Guy should have caught the ball.
It needs to be made. Now, that's all I want to say about that. And the other thing is this here, is right? When you think of Jalen Hurts, only thing you think of is winner. Like, he's the only quarterback of these guys that we're talking about whose arrow is pointing up. All the rest of them, you know what Josh Allen is. You know what Lamar is. You know what
just
Burrow
won MVP.
Is.
Yeah, I get. No, I'll let you cook. It's your birthday.
He just gave him the MVP. Okay, because he shouldn't have won it. Lamar Jackson.
Who should have won it? Should Jalen have won it last year too?
Well, Lamar Jackson should have won that MVP. Point blank.
Yeah, but he shouldn't have won. He shouldn't have won the one the year before.
Exactly right. You know what I'm saying? So that's why I don't put no credence. Once I found out that Emmanuel Acho and Dan Orlovsky get the vote, I was out. No more. I don't care about the MVP no more. It's a popularity contest. That's all it is. Yeah.
Well, it's always.
Well, yeah, but I mean the guy. Okay. All right. All right. It's your day.
Let him cook.
It's your day.
I'm going to be down tonight at the game. You know, I got my t-shirt with the ring on it. You know what I'm saying? I'm the first one with that. So, you know, we'll check it out.
And what are you doing to celebrate your 75th? 75th birthday.
I'm not 75. You know what I mean? I would be
you got to be at least 70, right?
guess what, Jack? You look
I should
like
have won tennis, I know.
On that tennis court.
There it is.
You were 70. One thing I knew you were going to lose that one. You know why? Because you can't bend. You can't bend your hips. And that's your problem. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I'm not a hipster.
And y'all talking about taking these blue shoes.
I had that problem, too.
I think they should drop y'all because I don't think. No. When Spike said that he had his greatest moment was at a. No, bro. Your greatest moment should have been when after your blue shoe. And Jack, I don't know about
several moments.
I think you get a reverse reaction. I think it goes the other way on you. You know what I'm saying?
All right, get out of here. Enough out of you.
I can see that.
I gave him a long leash on his birthday.
You did. You gave him a long leash on his birthday.
So it is Mount Rushmore week. Coming up next, 30 past every hour on Mount Rushmore. We have today and tomorrow. Ike gives his Mount Rushmore of Eagles quarterbacks.
Does Donovan make the list?
That's going to be hot.
That is coming up next.
That's a good question.
Also, celebrating Jalen Hurts' birthday by asking you what is your favorite thing about Jalen. 215-592-9494. The Mount Rushmore of Eagles QBs is next. We are at the Pepsi Plaza at Lincoln Financial Field. This is the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz.
You've been listening to the best of the Phillies on Sports Radio 94 WIP.